council meeting for Tuesday, July 25th, 2017 is now called to order. I'd like to welcome everyone today. Deputy Mayor Susan McLeod sends her regrets for today. Under changes approval of agenda, I have one item to add under 12.2, a Milton Days update by Councilor Fancy. Are there any other additions or amendments to the agenda? Are you ready for the motion to approve the agenda as amended? That move, Councilor Muse, seconded by Councilor Frelick. Any discussion? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor? Thank you. It's unanimous. We have no presentations today under 3.0. Under 4.0, tabling of petitions. Are there any petitions to be tabled today? Second call for petitions today. Third and final call for petitions. We have no petitions for today. Under 5.0, public question comment session. Members of the public gallery are able to provide comments or questions during this open session. Please state your name, your address, and limit your comments to 5 minutes or less, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. John Robinson, College Street in Liverpool. A couple of comments to start. First of all, it was very interesting and nice to see that our Prime Minister made a call in Queens County, in a little village of Fort Jolly, where I was born and brought up. And apparently, according to the comment in the local press, he wished that he could stay there. That's right. So that was very good to see. Also, listening to your comments on the radio yesterday, Mr. Mayor, with respect to the Harley Mullet coming to Liverpool, which will continue to create jobs there at Fort Mercy, as you've indicated. And also, it's a blessing, I guess, for Shelburne to be able to get rid of the hump that they've had there and the problems they've had over the past 2 years. Under 15.1, your senior safety program, there's lots of information that I've gathered from the municipalities around the province of what they're doing and so on, and how many people they have hired and the programs and so on. And also, just referring to the local press yesterday, they're advertising, there's information there advertising for people to retire here from Police County. There's going to be signs put out on the highway and so on, as I understand, according to the press. And as I've mentioned to you before, to this council and previous councils, we also should be looking ahead, and I know it doesn't come under the senior's program, under those programs, I guess, but looking ahead for a system limit here for Queens County, because these people get here, that's fine for a few years, but eventually, if we don't have a system limit or a place for them to go, they don't have to be developed here through the province. So, Mr. Mayor, I wish you could take that under advisement and keep working on it.
Thank you, Leon. Certainly, it is a priority of council to look forward to supporting seniors in Queens, and we discuss those issues on a regular basis. Hopefully, we'll bring some of the issues to a resolve that works for everyone.
Perhaps maybe we'll keep us up to date on a quarterly basis or something?
To the extent that we're able to discuss and release information.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Leon. Any other member of the public gallery would like to speak this morning?
Concerning this,
excuse me, sir, would you please give your name and address?
My name is Jack Cloud. I live at 133 West Street in Milton. And I would just like to comment on what the new camera hub facility, that application that they've applied for this property next door. And I have some concerns about this. And I'm surprised that more of my neighbors aren't here today. They were concerned, but I guess they're not my concern.
answer and respond to that. One would expect that provincial environment regulations would guide and govern as to whether sewer is required or not, whether porta potties are acceptable. Those are issues going forward with regulatory bodies outside of the region of Queen's Mystery. That would be a decision of the Department of Environment.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any other member of the public gallery this morning would like to speak? Thank you very much. We will now move on to 6.1, approval of the minutes of the regular council meeting of July 11th, 2017. We have a mover for that motion, Councillor Fisk, second by Councillor Fancy. Any discussion on the motion? Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of the motion? Unanimous, thank you. Under 7.0, dangerous or unsightly premises, we have nothing to bring forward today. Under 8.0, economic development, we have nothing to bring forward today. Under 9.0, corporate services, we have nothing to bring forward today. Under 10.0, we have engineering and works. And we will have Brad Roeder, our director of engineering, here very shortly. He will give us a verbal update on the capital project. While we're waiting for Mr. Roeder to get off the phone, I would like to move down the agenda to 12.2, a Milton Days update by Councillor Fancy, if you're prepared, Councillor Fancy, this time.
Yes. Milton Days. This year they found that it was a very productive Milton Days and that everything was larger than it has been in the past. The parade on Saturday went very well. There was one lady I talked to who said this was the third year in a row that she is from Montreal, but was born in Fort Mattoon and has scheduled her vacation to be down here so her children can be involved in the children's parade. It's one of the very few children's parades left in the province, and it's nice to be able to keep that. And be able to have that here. The pageants. It's just great to see all the kids coming out and getting all ready and still being exciting and having a community spirit. The garden party was probably one of the biggest they've ever had. It was packed. The weather was great, and well, the sun wasn't too bright and shiny. We didn't have the 31 days, and it was down to 22, 23, and people were just kind of hanging around, talking, and it's a great community time to be able to speak with others and see people you haven't seen all year. The variety show was, they had local talent. Again, the hall was filled. People were hanging around. The other thing was the Show and Shine car show that they had, which was something they just tried to do this year. And I thought when they said that, well, you might get five or six people coming in with the cars. They had, I think it was over 70 cars that were there. And people really enjoyed it, and the people were talking about coming back again next year. The breakfast that they have on Sunday morning, they usually have around 30 or 40. They had, so they were set up for 70 to 80, and within an hour they had everything sold out. So I give a lot of kudos to the municipality and Heather for getting this out there to the community roundabout and to be able to get people to come out. The supper, we had 170 people. Again, as I think the last year they had around 100. So it shows you the people taking interest in the community, but also too, how you, when you promote things and get things out there, people will come. So overall, it was a great success.
Thank you, Councillor Fancy. Do councillors have any questions or comments on Milton Davis? Thank you very much. Good update. We will now move to 10.1, engineering works. I would ask the Director of Engineering, Brad Roeder, to come to the presentation table. And Brad, if you'd like to give us an update on capital projects.
Sure. I'll just run through the capital projects that recently completed and the ones underway. Skate park being the first, that is complete with the exception of a few minor contractor deficiencies and wiring coordination. So that's good to see that done. In coordination with the bike park, the skate park is the bike park. The basic elements have been constructed. Now that's not to say improvements can't be and will be made into the future. There's a certain trail elements I would say need to be made slightly less technical, a little bit easier for beginners to ride. And there is periodic and ongoing maintenance required as time and other priorities permit. Now, I would like to clear something up because I see and I continue to see this bike park being referred to as a BMX pump track. It's not a pump track. A pump track is something different. Pump track is an additional feature. It's similar to the jump line, only with smaller height, and it's made into a circuit. We have a design for it and a space for it, but these type of additions grow over time. So what we have is not a pump track, it's a bike park. The town hall roof and associated repairs are underway. Job's going well, continue through the summer. We're replacing the roof shingles, of course. Rotted sheathing, rotted soffit and fascia, and gabial elements as they are encountered, or any clapboard siding, that type of thing, right? The sidewalk paving, sewer and water repairs, landfill maintenance, that's ongoing over the next several weeks. Let's get to Main and School Street. So the Main School Street upgrades. Overall, this job is progressing as expected. We expected bedrock in certain locations. Our expectations were met. We dealt with it and we continue to deal with it. Main Street, all the piping's installed in this section. It's charged and in use, that piping being the water main, sanitary sewer, forest main, and storm sewer. The base course of asphalt's laid from Reese to Wentworth. The sidewalk curb and gutter is installed from Reese to Wentworth as well. Now, installation from Wentworth to school is ongoing this week. The short section of School Street, that's from Main Street down to the old Stenpro lands, there's a pump station down there, and the school and Main Street intersection, the piping and valving is complete there and is configured for use. School Street, which is really in addition to the Main Street curb and gutter we're working on right now, that's really where we're concentrating. The temporary water lines installed for use within the construction period. The water main, sanitary sewer, storm sewers installed from Church to Waterloo. The same from Main to Church is currently ongoing. These installations have been complicated and slowed by the presence of bedrock and by excavation depths. They are ranging anywhere from 12 to 18 feet. The School and Water Street intersection, the work is underway within this intersection now. The piping is fairly deep there. We'll encounter some rock. The interconnections there are complicated and complex. Traffic control, direct traffic control is required there. The space is very limited, and vehicle passage through the intersection is quite tight. There's a temporary water service bypasses installed for Upper School Street, including the hospital, and for Lower School Street as well. Work will be ongoing here at this intersection over the next several weeks. All in all, the entire project here is going well, especially considering other demands that that get placed upon labor and equipment from time to time. So I'll open up to questions. Anybody have any? We'll answer them.
Any councilors would like to ask questions or any comments? Councilor Kelly?
Hi. Thanks for the update. And I was wondering about Main Street, the part that's not paved yet. Is that, did you say that that work there is all finished now and the next step is to pave that, or do you have to still dig up in there from Wentworth to school?
No. What we're doing there this week is we're installing the concrete curb and gutter and sidewalk there. Now, that won't be complete because right at the intersection of school itself, that can't be done until the road base is installed and all the water and sewer is installed there as well.
Right.
So what we'll do is we'll prepare the gravel surface again, right? And then the rest of the paving will occur all at once, like up school and Main, you know.
Okay. Yep, yep.
But the piping is installed.
Yeah, that's right. Yep. I was just wondering, sometimes those things, you have to go back in and do things to connect and whatnot. The other question is, I've had a lot of interest in the signage that's down there for Main Street to get to the lighthouse. So I'm wondering if there's any compromise. People were having comments from people trying to find the lighthouse or complaints that they can't get to the lighthouse. They're not realizing that they can use that part of Main Street to get to the lighthouse. I think it's just around how the signage looks on the sign where it says the street is closed and local traffic only, even though I know there's a lighthouse sign down at the bottom.
That's correct. I mean, if the region wants to install an additional sign further up Main Street towards the post office, certainly we could do that. But in terms of the signage itself on the detour, there has to be a detour sign because School Street is closed.
Yes.
And it's local traffic only because you can't strut sheet down, of course, right, because you have residents there and so on.
Because
what we did, though, we went over above and we directly signed. Because there's some doctor's offices there, the museum is there, and the lighthouse is there. So anybody that reads that sign, there's directional arrows that direct them to continue on through.
Yeah.
Now, if somebody wants to put an additional sign, we'll install it. But, I mean, we've covered our bases, I think, Works Department here.
Okay. Because I think that people, what they do is they go to the top corner first and they see local traffic only and street closed. And they don't seem to go any further and look at it.
They don't continue to read.
That's unfortunate when they're driving. I guess they can only look so long and so far at that corner. But, if there's a compromise or something like that or some other signage, we can get up there.
But we can't compromise a detour sign.
No,
we're regulated to provide that.
Absolutely.
We're under provincial rules for that, so we can't compromise the detour.
Like how sign can be moved further up on that?
As I said, if someone wants to provide additional signage, we'll install it.
Councilor Johnson?
Just one thing I'm wondering, is there some place that when we do these updates on these projects and things that we submit, which may be even going into next year's capital projects, is there somewhere where we get an estimated completion date? Now I find a report that things are on schedule. Well, I'm not sure what schedule is, because I don't know when.
Councilor, when we approached this and during budget deliberations, we did say this would take right to the end of fall. And it still will, because there's still a lot of work left to do in terms of road base prep. So we will be working at this all throughout fall, and that is our schedule.
Yeah, but I mean for each individual project, you know.
Our problem here is, I mean, we have so many priorities and demands that come up. We're not like a contractor working on one job. For instance, we got pulled off. We need to work at the landfill a little bit. We've got some guys out there. We were pulled off with a property that we were selling there for development. That takes away from it. So, I mean, we can't stick to a schedule like if you hired a contractor and that's all they did right there. We have other priorities that we get pushed around with here. So, I mean, we will continue it and we'll complete it this fall like we said we would, because we have to, because that's the end of the money, right?
Wondering when a project is going to be completed or submit a request and when it's being looked at.
I think there's a bit of problem on both sides to answer a question of that nature, because engineering work staff are going to complete it at the earliest opportunity. And of course, if there's delays or bedrock or other issues, it takes longer. So to give a date, we have a completion date of the end of the year. And that is the requirement of the contract. So it will be done by the end of the year. If we're done earlier, that would be great. Less inconvenience for everyone. But to give an exact answer to members of the public is very problematic, as you well appreciate.
If I may, I'm not looking for an exact answer. I'm looking for some information that I can help deflect questions, similar to what we did this week for other issues. You know, if I have information, I can help deflect that. I can't deflect that every project's going to be done at the end of the fall, because every project is different as far as I'm concerned.
Understood. So the information that we received today would be helpful in that regard to you?
Well, for the ones in the capital projects that are here, but I think the problem is bigger than that. I think the problem is to go through submissions to other projects that have been requested.
I would suggest that we can talk to the CAO to see if we can obtain some more information on those. But if you have a particular project, then of course that would be really interesting.
Well, no, I really don't know what you're talking about. It's our capital projects. I mean, they are what they are. There must be something else you're talking about here that's beyond words.
It's just a general request that either fit into next year's capital budget or where, you know, even things like what are we looking at and stuff like that. That's basically my request, to get some feedback on request. Maybe a work order.
I think to follow up on Councillor Johnson, like people like Susan Lane, who's trying to run a business, would probably appreciate knowing when the bulk of the project's going to be completed so that she can plan accordingly. It's been, you know, a really, really rough summer for them as a tourist. And a lot of the complaints are stemming from people not being able to get down there. And I totally agree with the signage. Nobody sees it. They see road closed, local traffic only, and you don't have time to read any of the other signage at all. So nobody's stopping and trying to figure out how to get down to the museum, and therefore the museum and the lighthouse are both suffering. So I think if we had a time frame for them, so that they would know, that might be a start to the problem. School Street, I see that that's going to take a long time. I understand that one, but certainly a time frame for that might help. But my original question was the skate park, and I've been talking to a lot of the skaters, and they are loving it. It's been amazing to watch them and to talk to them and to ask questions about how they're enjoying it. And they do have a couple things that are kind of working against them that they just asked me to bring up. And one of them is there's a garden placed right at the end of the large bowl. So when they're coming out of the large bowl and they're coming out fast, that garden is right in their way. So I don't know if there's any, there is a way to move a garden, because they should be able to land on the pavement and then hit the grass. There's a lot of time trying to get around that garden, and a few have gone through it. So it's a little bit of a safety concern. And I just had a question about water. Is there access to water?
No, there's not.
There's none of that at all?
No.
That was one of their questions, because in the heats that we've been having lately, again, safety concerns. So they'll have to learn to bring water with them. But they certainly love it, and they're enjoying it.
Thank you, Councillor Fowler. Any other councillors this morning? Councillor Fancy?
Yes, Brandy. The one question I have, and I think you referred to this back a couple months ago, down on Main Street, it's only going to be parking on one side of the road, isn't it?
That's what council we discussed. That's correct.
So it'll just be on the like where the doctors and such are along that side, but the other side.
That's correct. Yeah.
That'd be great for congestion.
Yep.
We'll clear that up a lot.
Yep.
Any other councillors this morning? Thank you, Brad. Very appreciate it. nothing under 11-0 finance this morning. Under 12-0 recreation and community facilities, we have 12.1 Mercy Skate Park. I would ask Megan Roberts to come forward if you would.
I'm going to bring Ian Kett with me as well, if that's okay.
Sure.
So, do you want me to?
Go right ahead.
All right. So, we're just here to give a bit of an update on what we've done at the skate park as far as programming and kind of what we have lined up going forward. So, as we all know, you know, kids' lives have become increasingly structured and programmed, and they really have no idea how to play. So, I think the skate park is just such an amazing addition to our community because it allows them the opportunity to go. It's unstructured, they can go whenever they want, they can meet up with their friends, and you know, the kids, that's what they're all telling us, is that it's just so great that they can meet their friends there every day, they can have fun, they can hang out, they come into Queen's Place, and they do get water. We fill up water bottles all day long. And they just hang out, they play Xbox, you know, it's just been such a great addition. As far as programming, so I've talked to the Chester Skate Park and kind of seen what they did when they first opened. They did a series of summer competitions for 4 years when they first opened with Jesse Watson, and he came, and he's local to that skate park, so it was a little bit different, but he came and did a competition. They had a barbecue, and they basically just let the kids ride and had fun. They've stopped doing those since then. They kind of had a shift in their skate park, and then now they're seeing more scooters and BMX bikes being used, so they've kind of shifted their competitions, and their summer staff that they have each summer just kind of put it together with the local kids, and they just do kind of a fun competition. So as far as competitions, that's kind of what I'm looking at going forward. Obviously, if there was some big competition that we could get to come, you know, we'd look at that on a case-by-case basis. We certainly wouldn't rule anything out, but what the kids have always told us is that they're looking for leadership opportunities, so learning how to instruct other kids to skateboard, and they're also looking for introductory lessons on just how to do it, because they just don't know. And they said, and especially Rhea Stewart had made a presentation to you previously, and she said, you know, one of their biggest things was kids were struggling because they didn't know how to get into an activity. There was no introductory lessons so that they felt they could go and integrate into the activity. So we've kind of been taking that stance so far. We've offered one, making tracks, which is skateboard training, and we have another one planned for a different age group in August. So we're going to continuously run those as long as there's interest. We'll do different age groups. We'd like to do an adult session because parents are wanting to go with the kids. You know, they're there, like, we might as well do it too. So we're looking at all those things going forward. But I think the most important thing is that we don't do anything that's going to close the skate park down continuously, because the kids just really don't want to have to call and say, you know, is the skate park open today? Can I go today? They just want to be able to go and enjoy meeting up with their friends and getting exercise. So that's kind of our stance as far as programming. And Ian, anything you'd like to add?
Yeah, just to support, Megan asked me to come in here today just to support from the Skate Park Association perspective, and also, I guess, from a local education perspective. I guess the vision of the skate park from our association, you guys have heard that in bits and pieces over years of what we thought this would be. We've far exceeded what we thought this would be, but the intention of the space being an unprogrammed space, we'd like to highlight that as like what Megan's highlighting here through the region programming is exactly what we had considered as the Skate Park Association for this space. And I can say for me personally, just over the, it's funny, I had Councillor Kelly and I were having a conversation informally a couple weeks ago in my classroom, and I said I felt the loss of coming to the skate park for the first time with my kids on the day that it was closed for prep before the 2 or 3 days before the gala. It was closed for, you know, Demetrius was, they were finishing something, whatever, and we had pulled in me and my kids for the day to come up for our 2-hour skate park session, and Demetrius popped over the bowl and said, "Skate park's closed, skate park's closed." And it was that feeling of, oh wow, we've arrived here, and this amazing new space that we're so used to isn't available for this 2-hour session for my kids. And to speak to the whole getting started, skateboarding is a really hard thing to start, you know? And so you'll see scooters and bicycles because kids know how to bike and scooter. So my kids are no different. They'll come, my kids are 7 and 9 years old. They'll come to the park. Skateboarding is almost something I have to say, you know, guys, let's try the skateboards for the first half hour and try that a little bit. But I'm also somebody that, you know, has an ability to show the kids a tiny little bit. I'm in there with them. Not all moms and dads have that. So the targeted programming to bring in sessions like you folks did a couple weeks ago, where you have a youth ambassador there or someone coming in to bring kids in a session. I will highlight, you know, those sessions sometimes to make sure everybody in the town has access to them. Sometimes could be sponsored instead of a fee for those, because sometimes even a $10 fee or a $15 fee has a negative effect for a kid in our community maybe registering for those, so we could do targeted ones. I love the idea of having them spread out in different age groups for those beginner sections, but the idea of training skateboarders to use that space in the right way is a really important thing. And again, to highlight, I was in Chester when they started the Chester Skate Park. I was teaching down there when they did it. It was half the reason I had the passion I did to bring this project, to help bring this project to Queens. The events, we have built a world-class skate park. Queens County has built a world-class skate park. Everybody knows that now. We will have opportunity to bring major events to that park, but the forced issue of local parks, Jesse Watson as an example, having these things forced on the venue kind of takes away from its natural organic ability to just be packed all the time without programming. So we just want to we're just here as to support the recreation department's suggestions and how they proceed, and just to make sure that we know there's 40 to 60 kids over there all the time, but let's try not to see it as a captive audience where we can kind of program for them. Let's see it as a space that's going to be used with very little effort from us in taking kids there, right? So we're here in full support of what's been done so far, and hopefully to head the in the report you'll see there's a mention of the ambassador and different things like that. Through our schools at the high school and through the middle school and through the adult high school, we have an opportunity for co-op credits, David White's community-based program at the high school. We have an opportunity to have unpaid labor there as well in terms of youth doing credits for their schools that can be ambassadors and, you know, folks that can help be that guy or gal that comes up to Megan's daughter and says, "Hey, Adeline, how you doing? You're having a hard time here. I'm going to show you how to hold your feet." And you know, those very subtle instructions that at a skate park and for this type of activity should be really thought of very differently than how we run our minor hockey association, how we run minor ball programs, or anything like that. Typically, skateboarding kids or kids that are using these spaces aren't typically structured kids, you know, and there are lots of structured kids that also want to play in that world, but having time to just figure things out on your own and a space to be able to do that is also super important.
And just to speak on, if I don't know if you all read the paper, but if so what I had done is I had done a little bit of research too on what other skate parks were doing other than just Chester. And one thing that came up was they call it a variety of things, but it's a skate park ambassador or a skate park supervisor. And what they do is they have part of, you know, another summer job, but part of their job is to be at the skate park, you know, giving impromptu lessons, more formalized lessons, but just having days and times that they're there all the time, just so that kids can, you know, interact with them. They just add to the skate park kind of some energy and music and, you know, just talk to kids and adults and youth and, you know, everybody, so, yeah.
Any questions or comments, councilors? Councilor Kelly?
Hi, thanks. Yeah, great. I totally agree with all of it. It's a great space and everyone's enjoying it. My main thing right from the very beginning has been, as you guys say, it's world class, and I want to bring the world here. You know, it's infrastructure that we can use to our advantage to bring everybody here, and I want to bring everybody here. And I would really love at some point to hear about, you know, what is out there. Maybe Ian, you could speak to it. I mean, what could we imagine, or give me a picture in my head that see, like, in the kids, like, even if it's just once a year, you know, there's something, either we create it, or it's already something set out there, a competition or a display or something that moves around that we can schedule in here. I mean, for those kids to see, like, I know my son, if someone just teaches him how to do something, that's great. He wants to see what that can look like for him. You
the
know,
possibilities.
Like, you know, he wants to see himself flying.
Yeah.
You know, 20 feet out of that bowl, basically, right?
But not
and
into
like,
the garden.
It's the spectacle of it, you know, that people like, and people sometimes just need to see that. See,
yep.
Wow, you can tell them the cows come home. This is the best skate park this side of Montreal or Quebec or wherever. But unless they see it, they just don't get that feeling of like, we've got this in our town, you know, and there's such an opportunity there. I'd love to know what could we possibly see.
There's events at, you know, international, national, and local kind of scale events. Most of them all sponsored by big brand skateboarding companies and different things like that. New venues that pop up in the area, which is why we always talked about skate tourism with the Queens County Skate Park Association when we were coming through the development of it. That park is created to also be able to handle those types of events. As time goes on, just like Queens Place, your area and outside of your area starts to realize that you have the world-class event. So Queen's Place programming took some time, right? And now summer programming and different things, people see that as a venue that's not, we never had ice in the summer. So what do we do now with kids 4-on-4 for hockey and now that that facility is there in South Queens? The skate park is no different. Now that that's a targeted space, once it gets dropped on Google Maps, once it gets there, the skate tourism is a little bit different than bringing people for events. Right, as you'll see, a lot of our skate population didn't come to the gala, right? It was a community event.
Yeah.
A lot of the skate population and the surf population had a huge event and barbecue, I don't know if you noticed, about a week later over there with the whole grass all sprawled out, kids and music playing and coolers and everything there for a day with, you know, a ton of people in a very informal type of celebration for the work that was done there. Big events bring the community, but they don't necessarily, like the skate tourism that we were looking to for, a big part of that skate tourism is the carload of gents and gals from Quebec that are heading down to hit the Commons and to hit Chester and to hit us and hit the Valley and then double back through New Brunswick and come back. And believe it or not, we have a significant amount of tourism in the area through the summer so far just for that type of thing. We see it through Jim Barnum's websites in terms of people that come for tourism, take pictures of the park and send it back to the designer and different things like that. It's interesting to say, to capitalize on that, the big events to show, we'll have those. The councilor or the rec department or whoever's planning events for the region will start to capitalize on those. You'll start to get targeted because our facility is, they're going to want to come to the facility. The tourism number I think is bigger just with the carloads of folks that are coming, just with the odd RV camper that you see over there popping up over the weekend, and you think it's just parked there, but there's four dudes in there for the weekend that have come to Queens County and are buying their food and are spending time here for that, to be a part of that park. I think the highlight for the events is just to make sure that you try to limit blocking that type of tourism as much as possible. You know what I mean? Because there is a lot of that. But I hear exactly what you're saying for Michael and Oscar and all those crew. There has to be an annual event or a biannual event or an effort from the region to capitalize on that beautiful space because we do have a world-class space to do it. So there could technically be a Vans skate presentation here. It takes a lot, just like any other event, just like an expo at Queen's Place or whatever, it's going to take a committee to organize that and to make it curling or whatever it is. So it's no different. They're out there, those big events. I think the tourism for the region in general, though, is a little more subtle. And having an ambassador or kids that are there working, the kids to go around and just subtly say, so it's not Ian Kent or Councillor Kelly or Megan coming out of the Queen's Place to say, like, you're not supposed to have pegs in here on your bike and all that. But to have, an ambassador like Sam Hatter, for example, that's a skater that's going over and going, hey, Megan, listen, I saw you just unloaded all these trucks and I see your New Brunswick plates. You may not have seen the signs. We don't use pegs here if you guys can help, but also to say, hey, man, how's it going? And make them feel comfortable at the same time instead of just like, here's a rule. You don't follow this rule because I draw reference to this. When we used to do our fundraisers on Jubilee Street for Privateer Days, even Dave and I, who were elevated in the skate park community, as soon as we would hold down on a rule for that day, they would say, oh, okay, yeah, perfect, yeah. see you guys later. And they'd all, Jubilee Street would empty out, and they'd all head down to the slab, and we'd be there for private duty. Brian would be walking by, Councilor Brown, like, where's everybody? We told them to put their helmets on, you know, and they all said, you know what, we're heading down to the slab, you know, and it's so, you have to understand the demographic of youth that you're dealing with, right? I think the development of the Ambassador Project, there's somebody there with it. If you look in Halifax on the waterfront, there's kids at every end of that with a clicker.
Yeah.
And they're getting real data about how many people are walking those, right? It would be neat to have somebody over there that's actually clicking. Who are you? Where are you from? How'd you hear about this? Where did you hear about this?
Where'd you come from?
Kind of documenting some of that data, because it's really hidden. The numbers are, the popularity is not hidden to us. We all see the space working, but in terms of how many people are coming from away to take advantage of that space, how much tourism that's bringing into Queens County, I think there's work for us to do to put numbers on that. I think it's bigger than we actually think. Yeah, and it's very subtle. Yeah.
I'm going to move to Councilor Fancy.
Yes, Mr. Kent, I think it's been definitely a hit. I know it's when we first looked at this 4 years ago, I didn't expect where we'd be today with the amount of children and everything that's going there. People are, I know I've talked to different people about leaving the children off, and they stay there.
Yes.
They stay there for the day. Again, I'd like to reiterate the point what you're saying, that like with the hockey, you go and you try to be the best you can be, and everybody you're trying to compete against somebody else, and everybody's watching you. They want just the opposite. They don't want people watching them. They want to just go and enjoy, have fun, and it's not how good you get or how it's unstructured. So it's a whole different kettle of fish. That's why I can see what you were saying when you talked about the opening day. They don't want to be there to be seen.
Yeah.
But I also, too, like what Megan's saying about bringing people in, because nothing can be any more frustrating when you do things wrong, and it gets frustrating, and you stop because you're just not having fun.
That's right.
And all of a sudden, you're going and you're stopping. Like somebody was saying the other day about, they were talking about their son. They said, went down to the bicycle, they went down to the big bowl. And he, first time he went down to the big bowl, he had to get his nerve up to get down. And when he went down in, he stopped. Mm-hmm. Well, it's a big thing. When you get down the bowl, you can't get out. You've got to be going in and so you can get back. So it's a whole different learning curve. The other thing I ask about is with our boards and the scooters and bikes and things, what do we have for availability there at Queen's Place for people who are...
So they're not cheap. So we've...
No, that's right.
And we don't want to buy anything cheap if we're going to loan it out, because it's got to last. So we've approached a whole bunch of different people to try to get some donated. We would buy some if they would donate some, and that's kind of where we've gone with it. So far, we've had no luck with that. I'm still waiting to hear back, as well as Steve. Steve Burns is working with me on that. So we're trying to see, and then if we don't have any luck, we'll pick up what we have the budget to pick up, and we'll go from there.
Because I haven't heard anything about it, that's what I'm saying. We need to get that.
There should be options for gear to come into the area in a lot of different ways. The Skate Pass program is one that a lot of our local schools are considering. So it brings skate training into the physical education program or the PAL program of the local schools. So right in the curriculum is a skate design program. But for your school to offer it, just like having a gym, basketball nets, baseballs, bats, you need to have the gear. So it's 15 boards and 15 knee pads and 15 elbow pads and helmets, and a school has to make a commitment for that purchase. If South Queens Middle School, J.C. Wickwire, and Liverpool Regional High School all go after that funding this year, which I would assume at least two of them would be, that's 30 boards that are coming into our local schools that are also usable, just like the helmets in the skate program that we have at Queen's Place, very similar. I know for us at the Adult High, as soon as the park was operational, we went down and blew $500 of our recreational budget at Pro Skate and bought two preset boards for different sizes, and I have them hanging up in my classroom. And now, just like going to Queen's Place for gym, I have a couple of my students that'll say, can I go to the skate park for an hour as my gym today or whatever. So that's all going to happen, I think, over some time. And I think sponsorship opportunities for mass purchases. Pro Skate is a great resource. Jesse is a local guy through a local SoSure guy, but it's almost like an artisan skateboard creator in terms of mass purchase, big brands. Pro Skates in Halifax, and we have a good connection there with that business. There's a connection there to Shelburne County and one of the owners, so they're so sure happy folks, and they're very excited about our park. If the region or the recreation department was ever going for a group purchase, helmets, gloves, things like that, I think you would kind of go out and look for a group purchase tender that would bring down your cost for buying trucks and rivets and wheels and everything separate. Because it does cost about, a pro standard board costs, you know, about $150 to outfit. So that is, it is still a lot cheaper than hockey, but it is still, there's still a cost, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Councilor Johnson?
Yeah, I think the skate park, from my perspective, being out in the Caledonia area, it's made huge inroads. And I think one of the areas that I could benefit from if there was any promotional material, because that whole cottage country is amazing how many inquiries I get on farmer's market each week.
Mm-hmm.
Both people that come from Halifax and away, but Europeans as well,
mm-hmm.
who want something for their kids to do and have questions about the skate park. And a lot of times I don't have those answers, but a little bit of promotional material, like a rack card or something like that,
yep.
would help tremendously. They're looking for something for those kids, and while the kids are at the skate park, mom and dad are buying something.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, we can work on that.
Councilor Bill?
I just wanted to go back about the events, and I know I understand totally what you're saying about it being organic, but I also look at the opportunities that are out there that we have missed in those years where we're waiting for things to come together at Queen's Place. I don't want a repeat of that. I would really like to see us out there spending the winter trying to come up with those big events, because when this first came before us, that was one of the attractions. Not only was it a skateboard park for kids, for the local kids, which we knew, it was the lure of bringing in big events. And those big events are, we know from all the work that we've done, those big events are the ones that are allowing us to move forward, you know, with the curling and the hockey. And, you know, there's no better moment when we transform Queen's Place into something and you're sitting in it and it's hard to believe that it's Liverpool.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what Councillor Kelly was referring to, that we want to be at the skateboard park and feel like we could be in Montreal at
mm-hmm.
a skateboard competition or an event. So I think that's what, while we appreciate what is happening there, I think the public is waiting for that big event. And you know, we do have an event planner in the building, and we're really waiting for some conversation about that. So I'm friends also with some people at Pro Skate, and I know how excited they are
mm-hmm.
and how many connections they have to that competition world. So let's use it organically, but let's be getting this to go and work side by side
mm-hmm.
so we can really show Liverpool what world-class spot we have there. So,
mm-hmm.
Very exciting. The park to me is a great, great asset to the community. There's only one concern that I have, and I don't want to put any buckload or man issues into this problem. But now, when you have a major event, a world major event, are they all? Is it compulsory to wear helmets on those events?
Much like your rental and your insurance at Queen's Place. For minor hockey, for example, when we rent the ice at Queen's Place, we have bylaws through Hockey Nova Scotia and Hockey Canada where the insurance related to our registrants have to wear helmets. But not all your renters at Queen's Place have to wear helmets. Your insurance is covered. You have private entities like Atlantic Hockey Group where their coaches have a different insurance policy, where they're out on the ice a la 80s and 90s with a ball hat on before liability changed everything and everybody had to cask it up, right? Skateboard events, park types events are all handled in individual ways, right? Whatever the insurance would be coming in for the specific event. So say if you bring Vans and Pro Skates and Converse in together as a whatever,
yeah.
Boston Pizza, and they're all coming in, we're throwing this huge event, and Subaru's sponsoring and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That event, to get a pro skater to come in that's completely looked after in their private insurance and doesn't use a helmet, and to tell that individual that they have to wear a helmet for an event, that would be like telling Guy Lafleur before a hockey game here a fundraiser hockey game here with his hair flowing in the air years that in Queens County you got to wear a helmet for our Montreal Canadiens fundraiser. I don't think anybody would do that, you know what I mean? I'm trying to just draw a reference to it. It's very similar in those situations. A big world-class event with a pro skater coming in that doesn't wear a helmet, I don't think it would be prudent for the region to force the helmet issue in that individual.
I didn't say the region forced the helmet.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean in terms of what we want to promote for our local kids is safety, right? And our communities and the use of those spaces is safety. Each individual event that you would do through the region would have its own, you would set the rules for it.
Well, yeah. For an example, I just want to give you a quick example.
Yeah.
The front page of the Advance a couple weeks ago, here was a skateboarder standing on top of the skateboard, no helmet.
Yeah.
I mean, right on the front page.
Yeah.
We're promoting, it looks like we're promoting.
Yeah, it's a tough one, you know, and I've had conversations with various counselors here about that, and being, one of the faces of the skate park when I'm over there, it's tough, because there were kids on the day of the gala skating, with kids and adults skating without helmets. I honestly, from my perspective only, again, I'm not a counselor, and I'm not the region of Queens, but my perspective as a teacher and as a local, you know, coach and someone that handles this type of stuff is that, you know, in public spaces, there's a certain responsibility on the family and the individual at a certain point, right? And so that's why when Mr. Router and everyone was looking through and exploring the signage for that space, how to mitigate the liability for the region and for the people to use that, and also to keep it a fun space, it really is the onus is on the law and on our local RCMP and our local police force to maintain the bylaws of biking and wheeled sports in our town. And although you kind of cringe and you go, you know, it's really something you just have to breathe out and realize that there are going to be people that use that space without helmets and without a regular bylaw officer there ticketing and enforcing that regulation in a very clear way, which I think would have an adverse effect. And you would that's why skate parks don't do that, is because parks that have done that see that their park empties out, right? So you have to put that, it's a tough thing, but it's one of those sports where it's the same with the BMX and the bike trail. You know, there's gonna be kids that rip that are comfortable without the elbow pads and the knee pads and all that kind of stuff. And it's a new way for, you know, we all have to get comfortable with it at some point. It's tough. We can't really structure it. Or I have never thought of a way to do it.
The only point I'm trying to make is I'm going to try to be very safety minded.
Right.
It only takes one person to smash his head.
Yeah.
And then maybe something would be done. I don't know. That's my opinion.
Yeah.
But then, otherwise, the skateboard crash is just fantastic. Not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I know. I hear you, and it's a tough thing. There's been lots of injuries over there already, right? And that's just there's tons. You know, there's been shoulders popped out, teeth chipped, and heads hit, and all kinds of stuff. By nature of the space, it happens. But like I've said, as president of Queens County Minor Hockey, I'm looking forward to how tough my hockey players are going to be this year. Now that we have the Queens County Skate Park rocking for their training in the summer, because they're all coming in a little bit more. Yeah, exactly. Absolutely do. Yeah. Yeah.
Any other counselor have a comment or question this morning? Councilor Shelley?
Ian, what did you say the cost was to outfit?
Or typical? Yeah, well, you can get preset boards for youth. There's different sizes, right? There's intermediate, small, and whatever. It's all based on your weight and your height and your balance point, just like skis. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can get preset boards at a place like Pro Skates or at a Zellers or a Walmart or whatever that will be usable for somewhere around $50 or $60, mm-hmm. $40 or $50. To have a setup where you're going to buy trucks, wheels, a board, a top, you know, what. That typically, a more professional setup ranges between $120 and $150 or $160 if you were to do that. Yeah, still, lots of costly, or lots of, it's a big range there. You can get cheap boards or whatever. But the kids that are riding, it's a concrete skateboard park, right? So you want hard wheels and different things that are going to allow you not to deteriorate
and
that.
And the parents who have kind of tried to, and I don't want to say cheap out, but they tried to buy something a little bit less expensive to see if their kids were going to like it, have found that they've ditched that already and spent the money on something that's going to last, because, like you said, the wheels have to be right and Yeah, they were just getting tore right up.
So for a, if you were to have them at Queen's Place, you would be offering the board, the elbow pads, knee pads, helmet.
Yep.
And scooters? Or scooters are a different thing altogether?
We've had people ask for scooters as well. So we were kind of, you know, you buy a couple of those, you just buy razors or whatever, and they're, you know, good for most
when
size kids.
When you're looking, like you would,
yep.
you would, to get this started, you would need like a $50,000 chunk of money or $40,000 to?
Depending on how many you'd want.
What inventory you'd like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ultimately, for the space to be, I mean, you see Queen's Place out of the youth, or you, even just for water and bathrooms. I love coming over there and seeing, we always, you know, aside from hockey practice and different things, figure skating and different things that are happening at that facility, the kids using the gym, the fact of scooters coming in and out of that place and running over and use the facility, to me, it's a breath of fresh air that we see that lobby full of kids, the Xbox there and everything. The just like the helmet and skate rental program that I think elevates the noon skate and the adult skate and different things like that, eventually for Queen's Place to have six rental boards, helmets and pads, and a couple BMX bikes of different frame sizes, and a couple scooters would be an amazing thing for the region to be able to sign out and to be able to say, yes, you're signing out a helmet, and with through us, the indication is that if you're taking this board, if you're taking this, you're taking this helmet, and we also have knee pads and elbow pads, but you got to sign out both. That type of group purchase, I would go to a recreation, you know, an outfitter, and say, this is what we're looking to spend, and go out to tender for that, because you'll get it at a lot cheaper price than the cost for one or two boards. Yeah.
Thank you. Councilor Johnson?
I just wondered if there's any investigation or looking into anything, maybe partnering with private enterprise, that they could do almost like the ambassador piece, do a little bit of instruction, and maybe at the end of the day, turn into sales.
Yeah, I mean, that's something we can look into. Initially, we were just kind of looking for something we could get to have for the kids to be able to have something to rent, and it hasn't really gone anywhere, like I've said, but I am still working on it with Steve. But, you know, that's something we could certainly look into, for sure. That's not a bad idea. Yep. Yep.
Any other counselors this morning on this issue? Thank you, Megan and Lee.
You're welcome.
Ma'am.
We'll now move on to 13-0 planning. I would ask Planner Mike McLeod to come forward. Regarding 13.1. For information purposes today, Councillor Frelich will not be able to participate in the discussion or vote during 13.1 in view of the fact that he was not in attendance at the public hearing this morning. 13.1 is rezoning 137 West Street in Milton from general residential R2 to institutional I1. Councilor Fancy, would you like to take the lead on this one?
It is so recommended that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality adopt a bylaw respecting the rezoning of PID number 7007-1725. And located at 137 West Street in Milton, from general residential R2 to institutional I1.
Do I have a seconder for that motion? Councilor Fisk. Mike, would you like to give us an update on this?
Yeah, sure, just a little bit of background. I think as everyone in the room is aware, with the creation of the erection of the new bridge in Milton, the Milton Canoe and Camera Club has been looking for a new place to conduct their operations of canoe and kayak instruction. They're currently located across the river, across from the Milton or Morton House. Opportunity has presented itself, or presented to the club, to respecting the property at 137 West Street in Milton as a potential location for their operation. The property is zoned as general residential currently under the land use bylaw, and in order for allowing the club to utilize this property, that an institutional zoning would be required. Policy under the municipal planning strategy allows council to consider new institutional designations to a property that is currently residential by way of a rezoning. So that policy is now enables council to make that consideration. There are a number of items that the council has to consider when looking at rezoning a property, be it institutional or otherwise. And I guess just to the comments that were made this morning respecting traffic and access to the site, those are certainly items that the council needs to consider when looking at the rezoning of the property. The original application that was submitted to the municipality had indicated about 6 parking spaces that would be located on the site to accommodate the users coming to the club. I think with some infilling or some modifications to that property, that certainly there's the ability to accommodate more than the half a dozen that were originally set out in the application. I think it is a valid concern. The West Street is a narrow right away, so certainly the more potential for off street parking certainly the better for this operation. I think that could be accommodated within the site. Discussions with the members of the Milton Canoe and Camera Club as well as the local councillor, on average there would probably be half a dozen vehicles would be there during their Tuesday evening events. So certainly the more space that could be accommodated within that site for parking, certainly the better. So but that's certainly one of the things the council has taken into consideration in their decision. So
any questions or comments of councillors? Councillor Fancy?
Yes, as Mike had mentioned here, since the new bridge came in, the Canoe and Camera Club haven't had a place that they can call themselves home. They had the spot they are using even now back in the time when they had their building. So for them to be looking at trying to continue on is an asset to our community. And I commend them for wanting to go forward and wanting to put this time and effort into trying to do something. As we saw here already with working with the brick wire and having some lessons being taken place there, it's helping our young kids with learning how to canoe and life-saving really measures, which is a great asset to our community. The other ends of what was spoken of this morning, it is a concern. It's always a concern about different things to make sure we do things right. And talking with them, I think they want nothing better than to do everything right. So I don't see them as trying to cut corners or trying to do anything that's going to save money or shortcut things. So I'm in favor of seeing where this could go.
Thank you, Councillor Fancy. Any other councillors? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you very much. Thank you, Mike. Under 14.0 reports, we have 14.1, Building Officials Monthly Report, June 2017. Any comments or questions of councillors on that issue? Hearing none, I'll move on to 14.2, the Bylaw Enforcement Officers Monthly Report, June 2017. Any councillors' comments or questions?